The ayes have it. We have before us the minutes from the March 22nd meeting and the April 12th, 2007 board meeting.
Move they be approved as presented.
We have a motion. Is there a second? And a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have the report of the Riders Advisory Council. Mr. Snyder. Well, we do have a report, a written report that is in our record. Are there any comments or anything? Okay. Number five, the public comment period. And we don't have anyone signed up. Okay. That's because, but now we get to item six. Report by the chair. This is the first time I get to give chair's remarks, and I gave a lot of thought to what it is that I would like to address. And if you will indulge me, that as I assume this role of chair, there are many issues that jump out at me as being very important for this authority at this time. There are more than I will comment on, but I can't address everything right here, right now. But some of the things that jump out at me initially are the efficient operations of the board and the system, respect for all sides of the issues that we discuss, the efficient and cost-effective operations of WMATA, metro system-wide safety for both bus and rail. We want our employees to be satisfied and more than satisfied, actually engaged in what they do. Protection of the resources that we have a fiduciary responsibility to protect. Continuation of the operations of the board at the highest ethical level. And of course, to work with my colleagues on the board, the public, the participant jurisdictions, and the men and women of WMATA to bring about results. And those are the things I'd like to highlight on. The year ahead is pivotal for Metro, and we have many challenges ahead of us. I look forward to working with my colleagues on the board and, of course, our still new general manager, Mr. Cato, and urge him to take a fresh yet aggressive approach to providing high-quality transit services to the Washington metropolitan region. We have a shared obligation to make the most of this opportunity to serve, and that is what we do. We serve, and we must immediately address several issues that pose a threat to the strength and future of the organization. We must cut excessive costs and find ways to operate in the most efficient and cost-effective manner without sacrificing safety or service for our customers. We must address the generous retirement plan and the overtime pensions that are symbolic of an agency that has lost its way to some extent. In addition to the negative headlines that we have received, the practice is costing Metro enormous amounts of money and, worse still, causes potentially unsafe working environment and working conditions, and that we cannot have. The amount of overtime worked by Metro staff must be limited, and when permitted, it must be done in a way that ensures proper rest between shifts and guarantees safety. And it must be done this year. We must also continue to look for additional efficiencies in the way the agency conducts its daily business and makes the difficult decisions of consolidating, realigning, eliminating, and reworking the system in a way that ultimately provides results in improved service, because that's what we are about. We are a service agency. It is time for Metro to be singularly focused on providing high-quality transit service and nothing else. We must do everything in our power to be good stewards of the regional and federal dollars that we receive. As Congress begins consideration of the much-needed dedicated funding for Metro, it is imperative that we take steps towards reducing costs, streamlining operations, and improving transparency. Quite simply, we need to earn the trust and confidence of our federal partners if we are to be successful in our quest for dedicated funding. Another major challenge that we face this year is restoring the public's confidence in Metro as a safe mode of transit. I am sure the board joins with me as I challenge Mr. Cato and his executive staff to plant the seeds for a new Metro culture, one grounded in safety. Metro must become a place in which employees who come to work get to go home safely to their families each day, one in which the public doesn't have to hold its collective breath when a bus enters a crowded intersection or shudder at the thought of what can happen after a piece of track sparks, smokes, and burns. We also need the entire WMATA workforce to join together in this endeavor. Every employee must make a personal commitment to overseeing the safety of his or her fellow employees and the millions of customers who ride Metrobus, Metro Access, and Metro Rail. It's time for a new corporate culture at Metro, one driven by a simple, overarching premise: safety first. It won't happen overnight, but I am confident that by working together, we can make Metro the safest transit system in the country. While we work on these challenges this year, we must keep our customers in mind always. We must continually seek new ways to improve our bus, rail, and paratransit riders by improving reliability, cleanliness, communication, and overall customer satisfaction. And we must always remember that our customers have a choice. They have a choice about how to travel around the region for work, entertainment, and other needs. To some, it may have seemed like we have taken our customers for granted. No one wants to be taken for granted. Metro can no longer afford to act like a utility with a monopoly on transportation services. Our customers have options, and we need to do everything within our power to convince our customers that Metro is the best option. Improving customer confidence in our ability to make sound financial decisions with our limited resources is an important step toward winning back customers and to increasing ridership. We are pleased that staff has been able to develop a new budget for FY08 that holds the line on fare increases and service cuts, but that doesn't mean our work is done by any stretch. We need to work collaboratively to develop a new fare policy that sets expectations for our current and future riders in terms of pricing. And this year, I challenge Mr. Cato to develop a rational and comprehensive fare structure with the help and the guidance of our customers, the board, the JCC, our jurisdictional partners, and the RAC, that this board can adopt and that will prepare Metro to serve our customers into the future. WMATA has undergone many changes over the past year or so, with more transformations yet to come. We must all work together and make every effort to support and encourage Metro employees during this time. This is a very tough time, and I think it's imperative that our employees are satisfied and, more importantly, engaged and ultimately have a work environment that leads to more to uplifting the organization, where people are happy to come to work and eager to do a great job. So to those employees whose job will be eliminated in the coming weeks because of our new organizational realignment, let me first thank everyone for their service and dedication to Metro. I struggle and regret that our new organizational focus on service and efficiency necessarily requires elimination of some positions and the layoff of some employees. These are human beings with needs, and that is not lost on any of us. We're taking this very seriously. It's going to be a traumatic experience, but we're confident that Mr. Cato and the staff will do everything that they can and that we can to help those who are leaving WMATA and help them land on their feet. So in the very short few weeks that I've been on the board, I've heard Mr. Cato say that he wants to make this transit system the best in the country, and I, along with the rest of the board, would like to encourage him in this endeavor. And he's also said that he knows what needs to be done is to improve safety, cut overtime, improve service, and bring the board to consensus on a rational, comprehensive fare policy. So I, for one, am ready to support him in those endeavors. And I am confident with the backing of the board, this aggressive approach and dedication to improvement, combined with the newly designed or soon to be newly designed more efficient organization, will make this year a year we can look back upon with pride despite the difficulty, and knowing that we have done our part to improve this organization. And with that, thank you very much. Item 6B, we have committee assignments. And we need is a motion to approve committee assignments. I will move it myself.
We're all moving.
Okay. And do we need a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you.
I'm the vice chair to second the chairman's motion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. And I would like to thank Mr. Benjamin for stepping up to the plate, too. And replacing Mr. Briscuso in the committee chairmanship. And I would also, I was remiss in not thanking Mr. Deegan and Mr. Briscuso for their service to Metro over the years, too. So we are very appreciative of their service, and I'm sure Mr. Benjamin and I are happy to follow in their very big footsteps.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just say before you move on to the general manager's report, that I appreciate your remarks this morning. I think they speak well to the goals of everyone on this board, and I think we're all looking forward to working with you and the general manager to see that they're accomplished.
Thank you so very much. And with that, Mr. General Manager.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first, I'd like to comment. It's clear the direction that you've directed me to go. We're up for the challenge, and we will make this organization the best transit agency in the country. That's not an option for us. That will be achieved. And there are many good people here who are dedicated to what we do, and their dedication will be reinforced and demonstrated in the upcoming year. This morning, it saddens me to notify the board of the death of one of the Metro's transit police, Detective James Burks, died on Tuesday, April 26, after a long fight with cancer. Director Burks was a highly decorated officer who served with this organization for 22 years. Today, Chief Hansen is representing Ramada at his funeral. And if we could take a moment of silence for Detective Burks and all the Metro employees whose heart goes out to the families of all those who died. Thank you. For a general update, ridership for the Nationals game and the Cherry Blossom. Unfortunately, the Nationals games, it's not drawing the numbers that we expected for this year, and that might have something to do with the number of games they're not winning either. Actually, the ridership has been 7,250 per game, and that's half of last year, so we wish them a speedy recovery in their skill set so we can get more riders to their games. The good news is that the Cherry Blossom, in spite of the weather, the ridership was up more than 9,000 over last year at 482,100. And on April 2nd and 3rd, the total ridership gave us the second and 11th highest ridership days in Metro history. So that's good. That's a good trend because we had a drop in ridership in February. Phase two of our next bus program is being rolled out at the Pentagon Bus Terminal on May 2nd on a ceremony at 9 o'clock a.m. And the next phase and expansion is scheduled for August, so this is going and moving very rapidly. I invite the board, the public, the press to attend on Saturday, May 5th, beginning at 10 o'clock, the Rail Rodeo. Now, what is a rail rodeo? It's not horses, but it's an opportunity for our employees to demonstrate their skill sets in operating a rail car from a safety perspective and being able to diagnose various maintenance issues. There is an international bus rodeo competition that's going to be held in Toronto on May 30th. And aside from the competition that we're going to be holding on the 5th, this is a great opportunity for Metro families to be there to see what their spouses or brothers or sons or daughters do at work. And so I invite you, those of you who are interested, to attend. On Saturday, May 6th, the next day, in Nashville, we're going to have competition and competitors in the American Public Transportation Association's International Bus Rodeo. Now, there's two types of rodeos. That one is really demonstrating the skill sets of our operators. And Robert Mills of the Landover Division will be representing us in this year's operators competition. And also Truck Hung, Wim Morgan, and Locke let me make sure I can get this right, Locksky McKenzie of the Bladensburg Division will represent us in the maintenance competition. So we have a lot of, this is not just fun, this is an honor to have our employees there. They compete, they're good, they demonstrate their skills, and it's a demonstration of the professionalism that we have both in the bus and the rail operations. On Sunday, May 6th, we're going to be supporting the Maryland Transportation Authority's Bay Bridge Walk by providing 187 buses to shuttle people from the satellite parking to the event. While this event is 100% reimbursed, it is not scheduled service, so all of the operators working on this service will be paid at overtime. This is an example of unscheduled overtime. However, we do receive 100% reimbursement for it. From a pedestrian safety standpoint, town hall meetings are scheduled for May 31st in Columbus Heights and June 12th in Congress Heights. And I will be working with Mr. Graham's and Mr. Berry's office to get more details on the schedule and the specific locations, but I will be attending that because that is a real emphasis of this organization is safety. Now, each meeting, we've had the wonderful opportunity because you hear sometimes about the negative things that happen. But every day, Metro employees perform tasks way up and beyond the call of duty. And today, I would like to bring to your attention some of those employees. As you recall, we had a rail fire at the Waterfront Rail Station on April 6th of this year. And we had several employees who went beyond the call of duty and demonstrated excellence, in my judgment, in the performance on that day. And as I call your names, I'm going to ask those employees to stand. On Easter Sunday, April 12th, we shut down the Waterfront Station on the Green Line for several hours while we investigated and contained a fire in one of our rail cars. Dudley, I'd like to thank
Bob.
Okay, he's from car maintenance, who made the first observation of a problem on the rail line at Lafont Plaza and who called Central Control quickly to report the issue. He then walked through the tunnel between Lafont Plaza and Waterfront stations to ensure that no debris from the train would impact the travel and the rail between these two stations. His actions allowed us to quickly restore service and continue some operations, and I'd like to honor Bob and thank him for his outstanding service. The next person I'd like to honor is Jabbar Goff, and I commend Jabbar of the elevator escalator who contacted operations when he saw a problem as the train pulled into the waterfront. He just finished repairing finished some repairs at the waterfront station and was waiting to catch a train to his next workstation when he heard a loud noise from the train. As it was pulling into the waterfront station, he immediately called Central Control to report the incident, and he offered assistance. Mr. Goff remained in the area and secured the ability to get to the station, assisting the police and fire for several hours while the station was off-limit to passengers. Again, he went beyond the call of his duty to assist our services and to assist our customers, as well as the fire department and emergency responders. Thank you, sir. Leroy Vaughn, is Leroy here? All right. Representatives from the D.C. Fire Department made a point of commending the efforts of the waterfront station manager, Leroy Vaughn, who evacuated employees quickly and safely. He also managed to clear in an efficient and orderly fashion so that the fire department could get into the station and assist with the putting out the fire on the train and to investigate and to ensure that the station was safe. And Leroy, you did an outstanding job of getting not only employees, but insisting on getting the customers out of the station, and I commend you for that. And we do have an employee who's not here today, I believe. Zaire, Alin, is he here today? No, he's not. I want to commend him, the train operator, who kept his cool and evacuated the train without injury. He did everything he was supposed to do and beyond. He did a good job of keeping the customers calm, but, and when you have a situation like this, situations can get out of hand, but it demonstrated that the training work and the professionalism that he demonstrated kept control over the situation. Unfortunately, he can't be here today, but I'd like to thank him anyhow. The issue, of course, is there is we have completed the fix on the affected rail cars, and I have been assured from our rail staff as well as from the manufacturer this type of event won't happen again. It's good to know. However, if something does occur, it's nice to know that our staff has been trained and ready to respond to any emergency. And so, again, I commend all of you on your efforts and thank you for an outstanding job.
Yes. Mr. Cato, before you go on, I'm sure the board would like to echo your sentiments on those employees, Mr. Dowdy, Mr. Goff, Mr. Vaughn, and Mr. Alim in his absence, to congratulate all of them. We talked about employees being, or I mentioned in my remarks about employees being fully engaged, and that's an example of employees being even more than fully engaged and going over and above the call of duty, but stepping up to help others, and I'm sure the entire board is very, very proud of them. And before you go to the next item on your agenda, we wanted to echo your sentiments and say congratulations and thank you very, very much.
I can go to the next item now, Madam Chair. All right, if I could have the, we're going to have a short PowerPoint presentation. And I'd like to carry you through something that I sent to the board earlier this week. Back in December, when we were discussing the possibility of fare increases and service reductions, I contacted the board and requested the authority to hire a consultant to do an assessment of the organization to ensure that we were lean from an administrative standpoint and that the organization was aligned correctly to carry us forward in the most efficient manner possible in providing the services to our customers. And the firm that was selected to perform the work was Galen Moffitt Consulting out of Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. And what Mr. Moffitt did, he looked at the current organization, and this was a high-level assessment. It was not one where he sat down and interviewed everyone, but he did interview many people. He looked at the organization structure. He identified the organization priorities as people communicated to him, as well as in documents that were provided. And he also conducted many interviews with staff, external organizations, and reviewed all the documents from the past 2 year of board meetings and various peer reviews performed by the American Public Transit Association. More time would have allowed him to get a more in-depth interview, but that is something that we can make a determination on later. What I needed and what he provided was information to help me make decisions on our organization and help determine the new direction. The findings as a result of this analysis is that the organization, in his review, has excessive administrative and management staff throughout the organization, and that culturally and structurally it's divided and not properly aligned to accomplish the mission of providing quality rail, bus, and paratransit operations, as well as the supports to those operations and the supports to maintaining the infrastructure. He believed that we had identified unnecessary or duplicative, I have a bad day on that this morning, functions in the organizations in several areas. In addition, he had major concerns about the future of Ramada's ability to carry out its operations, that 21% of Ramada's employees are currently eligible for retirement, and that is a major concern and something that we have to focus on as we move forward. From the recommendation standpoint, he recommends several different actions. First, from a savings, a reduction in administrative staff based upon analysis and comparison to other organizations that provide similar services. Cost reductions in the organizations, including looking at the expenditures of consultants, travel, and other aspects of dollars that the organization expends on a weekly basis, monthly basis. He recommends a reallocation of service hours of non-productive routes to overcrowded routes to help resolve some of the issues we have in many of the quarters in the Washington metropolitan area on our bus system. To increase revenues in the future, he recommended that we look at an indexing and something that I discussed with him, affairs for future consideration by the board, something, Madam Chair, that you mentioned and you directed us to do in your presentation this morning, and something that I intend to bring back to the board later this fall is various options to increase the revenues of the organization, including additional advertising, a look at the aspect of how we handle our parking, and other aspects of joint development, and suggestions that are coming from employees throughout the organization. From a cost standpoint, he looked at the aspect of pay and benefits for employees and felt for the long run, in order for us to retain individuals, we had to look at various strategies, working with the bargaining units as well as administrative employees to ensure that we're competitive in the marketplace, and that we need to invest in the importance, it's something very important from my perspective, employee training and development to ensure that we have the skill sets that carry us forth with the new technology and the direction that we're moving, and that we review the organization's process and policies and align them into a management system that is clearly defined and has clear standards of performance and accountability. Structural changes, again, reductions are only one part of the recommended changes. To be successful, as mentioned in this slide, additional actions must take place. And that's a continuous focus on how do we contain our costs and to be very efficient and effective as an organization and to bring new revenues into Romata, including investments in the organization and the skill sets of its employees. The issues and what was identified. The recommendation was that from an organizational structure that we will reduce, and we are including this in the FY08 budget, a reduction of a minimum of 220 administrative positions with an annualized savings of $22 million. Again, all these savings will not be fully realized in the first year due to some positions that will be phased out. A cutback on professional and technical services, and we have made those reductions in the budget of $4 million. And from the overtime perspective, you've read a great deal about overtime, and we're taking multiple steps to fix the issue. First of all, the employees who earn the dollars work very hard. They earn those dollars. They work those hours to earn the overtime. However, from a management perspective, we have several concerns. One is, are they working too many hours? And I'm concerned about the safety. And I'm concerned that they might be working too many hours in the office and need additional time off for driving a vehicle or maintaining a vehicle. Our recommendation is, and we're looking on the operator's side, to increase the staffing of operators without any increased request of dollars in the budget to reduce the overtime. The initial review demonstrates to me and our staff that while the positions are filled, we might not have sufficient number of operators to reduce the overtime, and we're still working on that analysis. In addition, we will fill all the positions within the rail operations to reduce overtime in rail, and also from a security standpoint, a law enforcement, of course, we have the challenge of being competing with all other jurisdictions in their attempt to hire police officers. And while we're making some progress there, we still have many vacancies, and yet we have many shifts that must be covered. and that's causing the overtime, but we are working on that issue. But the net savings as a result of all of these analyses is 26 million. We've not determined the savings. We can reduce overtime yet until we perform additional analysis, which is occurring as we speak. Next. Future considerations. This is only step one in a process. This was a macro level look at the organization. It indicates that an organization study of all the specific areas and a new leadership and focus on efficiencies in every area of the organization is necessary as we proceed through the year and far into the future. The consultant recommends a deeper analysis to determine structure and skill sets as well as processes, and as the organization makes the change from both a construction an operating organization to an operating organization, we must provide the necessary development of our managers and employees to ensure that they have the necessary management skills to move forward, again, from an efficiency standpoint, an operating standpoint, and a safety standpoint. The organization structure, which I'm about to show to you, will demonstrate or reemphasize who we are. We're an operating organization, and it will reemphasize the importance of the operating functions. It reflects the change in the core mission of moving from both a builder and an operator to an operator, and it's focused on the values of safety, security, customer service, operating efficiency, and communication. Next slide, please. I believe you have this with you, and it might be hard for you to see. This organization chart is top level with specifics, and it's the lines that go down, which I will talk some about, are functions, not necessarily departments. And I would move to the far beginning at the top. Of course, there's a Ramada Board of Directors, and there's been many changes there, but you still hold the position I did of being the board, and that's real clear. The board secretary to be determined. One change is general counsel has a line reporting to the board, the dotted line of daily direction from the general manager, but from the standpoint of the authority to hire or fire, the general counsel that rests with the board. The inspector general, which is a new position, reports to the board, and the IG will be here, I believe, within a couple of weeks. And the audit function, after our discussion and also your direction, audit will report to the inspector general and their relationship with the board. Myself, and then from there to the far left is the Deputy General Manager and Chief Operating Officer, Gerald Francis, who is to my right. And to the far left, from our paratransit services, Kristen Kent will head that up as the Assistant General Manager for both Metro Access and the ADA programs, which were separated. And we want to integrate those to put the resources to be more responsive to our customers, and both of these groups have done a good job, but the integration of those functions, I think, is going to improve our relationship with our customers and various communities in the area. From a bus operation standpoint, next week we'll finalize the interviews for candidates for that position, and we'll announce to you first who that individual is. But the first and foremost responsibility is safety, quality assurance, and the operator and maintenance training, transportation, the provision of the services, the control center, maintenance, non-revenue vehicles, and the responsibility for that will fall to this person. The engineering of vehicles, the administration of our contract services, such as the circulator administration, and stores, which was under finance, is moving to the operations so they can have direct control on the supplies and the accountability of supplies coming to them. On the safety aspect, safety employees who are currently working at the bus operating divisions will report directly to the Assistant General Manager for bus. This did not reduce the corporate safety, which I will talk about in a moment, the safety needs to be ingrained in the entire organization, and the accountability must rest where we provide the service. Under the rail operations, you have Steve Fowles, and again, it's the same type of structure, safety, quality assurance, training, the operations, the maintenance, the engineering, and supplies. On the operations services, which is a new group, Jack Rico will be the assistant general manager. His responsibility will integrate what's called plant management today, facility engineering, which is the existing group that we have that performs all of the infrastructure renewal program as well as the construction and rehab of our existing facilities, systems engineers, the escalators and elevators, parking and customer service. Jack has a big job ahead of him. And this is, again, as I said, the first phase. We still have to integrate all of those functions. There's a new emphasis on safety, security, and a new function of emergency management. Currently, we do not have a recovery plan if there is a disaster, nor do we have, in my judgment, a plan for emergency management in case of a disaster in this area. Polly Hansen will be the head. She has the experience, the skill set, all the knowledge and the relationships. And again, reporting, and she will have the responsibility, as she does today, for the transit police, corporate safety, and risk management, as well as a new function called emergency management. Information systems is Suzanne Peck. And while we have various functions, this demonstrates moving functions that were throughout the organization and centralizing them under the information technology under her leadership so we can have a direction, a coordination with the information systems and the proper integration. Financial services is the Chief Financial Officer, Chuck Woodruff, who's going to have treasury, accounting, management and budget, procurement, and Smart Trip Fair Media. That whole program as we move out and get the majority, if not all of our customers, over to a Smart Trip type of media. Human capital, formerly called human resources, we're currently negotiating the head of that department, and I will have an announcement in a couple of weeks. And this will be a whole focus of focusing on the development of our human resources, including a program that will work with various school systems, various organizations to develop the future workers for Romana. As I mentioned, we have 21% of our employees who are leaving. We have a large number of mechanics who are scheduled to retire. We need to come up with new ways to retain the existing employees and new ways of training and developing the workforces for our rail cars, for our buses, and our computer systems, and HR will focus directly on that, or human capital. Planning and joint development, I mentioned back at the bus conference in December that we had in Bethesda, that I felt Romana needs an aggressive approach in its planning efforts and its coordination with all other regional operators, that we should take a lead in providing and designing transit and transportation options to this region. And we will do that under the leadership and change that we have within the planning and joint development group. And Annette Ballingheimer will handle that as the assistant general manager of planning and joint development, including our joint development projects and the management of those projects. From a corporate strategy and communications, Sarah Wilson will head up a more aggressive government relations, public affairs, marketing, and customer communications. We need to be in the forefront. We need to be aggressive from our government relations and our marketing and customer communications standpoint. This structure will allow us to provide the services, provide them in an excellent and efficient manner, in a safe manner. It will allow us to provide security and safety for our customers and our employees with an information system that's well coordinated and integrated. It will be efficient from a financial standpoint, one that will develop its employees, and we will take the lead in being aggressive from a regional standpoint, working with all of the partners in the region, and communicate that in a very effective and a positive manner, market our services, and improve our relationship with governmental agencies. As I mentioned before, if we go to the next page, this is just the first step. The individuals who will take on these responsibilities now must make sure that their segment of the organization is focused on the core mission and that it is efficient. Many things will occur over the next few weeks to make the organization more efficient, and we will continue, Madam Chair, members of the board, to make Ramada effective, safe, efficient, and a world-class transit operator. And Madam Chair, I'm open for any questions that you might have on this issue.
Okay. Questions?
No questions.
Mr. Litton, oh, I'm sorry. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say no questions. I certainly want to applaud the general manager for moving this in the right direction. It's long overdue, and some of us have been talking about some of these various issues for several years now, and finally glad to see that they're beginning to occur. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Yule. Mr. Litton.
Thank you. I think my comments were similar to Mayor Yule. Obviously, this is a breath of fresh air, a need transition in the organizational structure of this body, which has not been done, particularly in this way, for probably in, a couple decades. Someone who have viewed this organization from the outside as well as the last several years on the inside, this is something that's been well needed. So I commend you, and I like the product in terms of the structure, how it works. I think it's a very efficient one. It's consistent with how we think business should be run with the authority in the current environment. So I commend you for that. I also wanted to comment on something that has concerned me over the last week or two, is the issue of overtime and the kind of attention that issue has gotten in the media. And unfortunately, we often in this region respond to headlines. And headlines do not necessarily reveal all the facts. And that's unfortunate because we even have legislators who are legislating by headlines. And that concerns me as well. But clearly, overtime is not just a WMATA issue. It's also a national issue. I serve on the HR committee at APTA, and if anybody wants to get under the hood, and sometimes when you do stories in the newspapers, it takes a lot of research and you got to go and get under the hood. But if you get under the hood, you recognize that hiring bus drivers is a national problem, not just in this region, but all the way up into Canada. And there are, in fact, initiatives that's being put forth in the industry to try to deal with that. So I think we need to talk about all this in some context. I think it's also apparent to some of us that overtime for our employees is often a recovered, reimbursable item. Very often we have various events in this region that requires additional service beyond the capacity of this workforce to provide. In order to provide that service, you have to have the overtime. So that requires the coverage, but the headlines don't reflect that. So I think we have to get under the hood to understand these issues before we both legislate and respond to them. I think we as a board also need to correct these type of misconceptions as we go along. And we need to understand and get under the hood as to what is causing the overtime. Yes, there's some things that we can do, and I think the general manager has suggested and has put in place an effort to do that. But there are also some issues related to overtime that are specific to this industry, specific to operations, and specific to the national and international environment. So I think we need to reflect that in our remarks as well, and I just wanted to comment on that, Mr. General Manager, Mr. Chair, as I had the opportunity.
Okay, Mr. Kaufman.
First, I very much appreciate us, you know, addressing this publicly and going through a number of these points with alacrity. To ask the classic question, of course, it'd be helpful to see the old chart or the current one. Haven't memorized that, so to maybe help me and my colleagues better grasp the differences, because an emphasis in the report is, you know, getting rid of unnecessary functions, reducing silos. I guess if we could look at them side by side, we might see some of those. So in absence, could you tell us maybe some of the deemed unnecessary functions or silos that have been reduced by this?
First of all, we will provide that to you, and I was remiss in not doing that. If I could go back to the chart again. One of the issues, if you go back to one, two, three, the fourth box is blue. It's an integration of several different functions within the organization. We have Metro Matters that provides projects on not just cars, but also work within the tunnels, the tracks, communication systems. And we also have plant maintenance that does some of that work and at times contracts some of that work out. Very similar to other staff, but they were in two parts of the organization. And in addition, from the engineering standpoint, we wanted all of that to be together with both of those functions, because sometimes plant might be doing A, but from an engineering perspective, it really should have been B, and I wanted those integrated. The elevators and escalators was a separate element again. We had multiple functions doing upkeep, and renewing the infrastructure, but they were in several different places in the organization. As the integration takes place, as I said, this is not the end. There are situations where there might be some functions that are duplicated. I can't answer that yet. We need to drill down. Those are changes that are occurring. From the aspect of safety, again, security and safety are really integrated. You know, what's being safe is being secure, and we had the chief of police who was responsible for that, and we had a safety director, and I'm moving those together to put the emphasis on the integration of that from a corporate standpoint, but in the standpoint of responsibility, from an operating standpoint, some of the safety will report directly to those heads, and they will be held accountable. And I'm not saying that either of them were guilty of this, but when you have a separation, it's one department telling the other, and there's can be the possibility of some finger pointing. I don't want a finger pointing. If there's an issue, I want one person accountable. That's a change that we've made. And there will not be efficiencies, because we're not going to reduce people. It's just where the responsibility lies, and there's still a corporate oversight. We can go through, I don't know the degree, Mr. Kaufman, you want me to go through on this.
It would be helpful if you could summarize some of those, because obviously getting a lean, efficient organization is something, you know, no one would object to. It's just how do we highlight, particularly for different folks we represent, that this is in fact taking place, and just give some specific examples. That would be helpful. And Madam Chair, just a couple other. I'm very grateful to see, and I think it's very positive, that you're maintaining the focus on Metro Access,
yes,
our paratransit operations, by keeping that as a high-level reporting directly to the Deputy General Manager. That's important, and continuing to improve that service does need to remain integral to our operations. In terms of the new function of combining safety and security, I would just ask, as we go about making that happen, that would be highly cognizant that in times past, particularly after NTSB reviews of accidents in the system, there's always been this reaching out to see how do we as an organization elevate safety, how is it as a predominant, visible strong, robust, circle any of these words, organization. And I'd want to know, you know, is, well, frankly, is Polly going to remain chief, or, and does she fit in these other things, or how is that going to work out over time so we ensure that safety does remain a key focus?
Well, part of the question, some of that I will have to return with some additional information, but Polly will be the head of it. The aspect of the details of how we integrate the staffing, that's what she has to do over the next 2 weeks. It will emphasize safety, and it is a direct report to me, and it will also take into account the law enforcement officers of this organization are involved in safety also, not just security. And we want to maximize that, but it gives us the abilities to have additional safety. She will be the assistant general manager of safety and security. And that's the real question, I believe, that you're asking me. And there are some other details of that I can answer that outside of this room later concerning her personally.
Next question is looking, again, customer service communications. One of the things that I think would be helpful, so we continue to focus on our shared objective of both being able to hold operations level folks responsible for being a customer service organization, but also coordinating our message, communications generally. And I see, I'm looking at under operations services that Jack's new role, I see customer service there at the bottom with the double asterisks. I see with Susan Peck's role, customer liaison and communications as an item. I see with Ms. Wilson's corporate strategy and communications, customer communications. I think it would be helpful for us as a board, but also, you know, for the organization to better understand, you know, how are we defining what are these different elements of communications? How are they going to be effectuated over time? That would be important. I'd also like to know where the RAC fits in to this as well. As we work to refine it, I think that needs to be highlighted. I'd like to see, you know, planning and joint development. How does that get defined over time since we are basically, you know, stepping out of the direct expansion role as an authority? So what is that? What is the new meaning for planning and joint development? Certainly joint development has been a schizophrenic beast over the years. We want to be deeply involved. We don't want to be deeply involved. Seeing how that works out will be important as well. Again, I'd echo the comments from colleagues that this is a good step. We just need to better understand how this works, that delicate line between decentralization and centralization, particularly from my initial blush, customer service and involvement of the RAC.
Yes, sir. And we will provide all of that to you and all members of the board.
Okay. Is that it for you? Okay. Ms. Hudgens, followed by Mr. Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Cato. As Mr. Kaufman indicated, as I started to look at this, I started to say, well, what did we used to do? And I think that's going to be very important for us to get an understanding of this. I just had a couple of areas, and one is, again, in the access. I guess this is a deputy general manager or assistant general manager position, that I first want to publicly thank you for you coming to the Access for All Committee. And as I look at this, you spoke quite well to that group of customers about what you believe Metro's role should be in terms of the integration of the services that we deliver to that the community. And by bringing them together here, I hope that that can be realized and that the customers we serve understand that. I want to highlight from those comments that you talked about the fact that Metro should start to look like the customers that they serve throughout, and I think that's going to be a very important role to play in that organizational change here, because as it was previously structured, I think there were really opportunities to kind of isolate people rather than to bring people together and across. The other emphasis, and I think it goes throughout the chart, is that as we restructure and as well as there are rifts or cutbacks in the organization, that they do not impact the efficient operation of the organization. And that I thought what you said there, and I didn't quite hear it say this morning, was that we would not see reductions in places in which there would be operational impact, because the customer is still looking for the efficiency of the services that we deliver to them. And I guess the other one is, let me just have you respond to the part about the operational aspect. Yes. And how that impacts.
None of the positions are operationally oriented. What I mean by that is there are no drivers, mechanics, service attendants, law enforcement, safety personnel, the safety function. This is focused purely on the administrative functions. As we go through again, we will look at efficiencies here on the operating side. As Joel and Steve and Kristen look at their performance, any thing that we find, in my judgment, if there are some efficiencies, we need to put those efficiencies back into operations, again, because that's what we do. But none of these reductions or any changes will have any negative impact on the operations. In fact, they should enhance the operations of the organization.
I just had one other comment regarding looking at the pay and benefits of our employees. Do we have an idea of how are we looking at market studies, or just where might we be going with that?
We are looking at market studies, and those are things over the upcoming, with the budget and upcoming years, we will bring to the board. We need to do a very detailed analysis. That's not something we'll have for you next week or next month. It's going to take a lot more work on the part of human resources, and I know Adrian has been working on that, and we will bring those reports back to the board.
And I guess the last that I comment I have is regarding your comment about the absence of an emergency management plan for recovery and disaster management. I think there's been a lot of activity regionally among transportation, among jurisdictions, working in trying to do exactly that. And I would hope that expeditiously the board could understand what you will be bringing forth, because WMATA was, in the last disaster, the agency that operated efficiently.
Yes.
We did not have on the ground, fortunately, the disaster within us, but it was around us. And so I think it is important that we understand what is the plan, how do we, when we can't operate, what is the plan and how will we function? And so I appreciate your pointing that out tonight, but I also am anxious to see how soon we can start understanding what it can be.
Okay. Mr. Benjamin, followed by Mr. Zimmerman.
First of all, I really think this organizational structure makes a lot of sense to me, and I do applaud you for the emphasis on service. I think that's critical, and it clearly comes out in this structure. I also think one of the very important parts of what we're going to do today is to give you the authority on your own to make adjustments and changes in this organizational structure without coming back to the board, which I think is a critical part of what really needs to happen here. I'm also, just given my past history, particularly pleased with the Smart Trip Fair Media Office, just an area that I've always had a lot of attention on and been involved in. Jack, if you could switch back to the cost savings chart, just a couple quick questions. These numbers are not net of severance, is that right?
That is correct.
Will severance charges be an 07 charge or an 08 charge?
I believe, Chuck.
07.
So given the last financial report we got, we're looking at a potential overrun and and we are looking at potential additional costs for the jurisdictions?
Ooh, correct.
Okay, so that's inherent in this plan?
That's an assumption in this plan.
If I understand, Mr. Benjamin, the report that we gave you indicated that for FY07 we would be over budget. And those costs are coming to the various jurisdictions, if I understand, in 2 years?
That's right, two-year period.
And then the question is, the sevens for this, that will be added to that amount.
We're going to see a substantial amount of that is going to come back as additional subsidy costs for the jurisdictions in 07.
Oh, substantial, I'm not sure. A number, we don't have final numbers on this, but many, many of these positions are vacant positions, so there won't be direct cost severance packages being the primary one because the positions are vacant. So to be determined in the next week will be the order of magnitude of these severance packages. But I don't think it'll be substantial costs.
If the vacant positions are already part of LAPS, then they won't have the savings. So one way or the other, we're going to get a hit. The other thing is this is all costs. It's not operating costs. These are not operating savings, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear as to what was happening so that we would have an understanding as to where, how we have to deal with it.
Yes.
Mr. Benjamin, on the savings, we budgeted a 3% lapse factor, and we run somewhere around 7% lapse. So there is a differential there.
Okay. That's it for you, Mr. Benjamin? Okay. Mr. Zimmerman, followed by Mr. Kaufman again.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. A couple things. First, let me say, those who've served with me a while know that my general view has been that the board should hold the general manager accountable and, for the most part, let him or her operate the organization with a fair amount of latitude and structure it and hire whoever he or she thinks is appropriate. That is generally the way we do things in local government in Virginia, and you know, I think it's the appropriate structure with the policy board to act collectively through its one appointee who it can hire or fire at will, and then having held that person accountable to give them the responsibility to organize the organization as they see fit. And for that reason, I was happy to support earlier, a couple of months ago, I guess, Mr. Cato's request to essentially be given more latitude in hiring executive personnel. I think that's appropriate. I never was comfortable with the degree to which the board sort of kind of half played a role in a lot of that. So in general, I'm predisposed to want to support an organizational structure the general manager brings forward. And, you know, this looks fine to me, but mostly it looks fine to me because I have confidence in the general manager and this is the way he says he wants to run the organization. You know, unless there's something that's red flag, my inclination is to say, fine. Now, you know, meet the performance that we've established. I do want to ask a couple of questions about this. One is, in the action that we are asked to take here is basically to ratify that organizational structure, the new executive positions and the organization chart, essentially. And it is specifically referenced in the resolution that has been proposed to us. First, the attachment that the resolution refers to shows that organizational structure. It also names the individuals who at least preliminarily are in these positions, with a couple to be determined. I want to make clear my understanding that what we are asked to ratify in terms of this organization chart are really the boxes, the big boxes on top, not the names in them. That we are not ratifying the appointment of these particular individuals. It's my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, that the general manager is not asking for our opinion on these individuals, and we would not be in any way ratifying their hire. That's the general manager's choice based on the earlier action to which I referred. But this is, what are the positions, what are the departments that will exist in the organization? Mr. Cato?
That is correct, Mr. Zimmer.
Okay. So just so that there won't in the future be any question about that, the specific names are basically for our information here, but that's really not part of our action. And I trust Ms. O'Keefe that's okay the way.
Yes, that's correct. Of course, with the exception of the three positions that the board directly hires and fires, which are called out in the resolution.
Which is also consistent with, again, the chart as well. And, yeah, I appreciate that distinction, too. Again, that's, you know, consistent with my view personally that the, apart from the general counsel, the board's lawyer, basically, the board's secretary, and the inspector general, who is intended to be independent, that the board exercises its executive authority through the general manager. A couple of questions more specifically. In developing this, has there been any consultation with either the Riders Advisory Council or jurisdictional staff?
No.
Let me suggest that there might be some insights that to be gained by discussing with them even after the fact, especially since the resolution essentially gives the general manager authority to make changes in the future. I think it's always a good practice for us to hear what the riders think. Most of this, again, is these are matters that, for the most part, I would leave to the general manager and hold him accountable. But there are often insights from people who interact with the organization that might be helpful. Jurisdictional staff, I think, can particularly be helpful in relating how some of these things may impact the jurisdictions in ways many of us sitting here might not think of. That's especially true given some of the changes in focus and the move from construction. And let me note that although we are withdrawing to a large degree as a construction agency, that doesn't mean we're not a planning and development agency. Planning is actually one of the, transit planning for the region is one of the functions given to WMATA by the compact. And there still are going to be transit projects. Not maybe a lot of mega projects, although we do have rail to Tysons and Dulles. We do have the potential for what Marylanders call a purple line, you know, perhaps transit over the Wilson Bridge, that kind of thing, which Metro is very likely to be involved in some form. And there are lots of other projects that Metro is always involved in, whether it's new elevators, new entrances, various modifications, for which the role of this agency may change, but is not irrelevant, since we would be operating those things. So that continues to be an important function, and I think it's called out so here. Again, another reason why consulting with jurisdictional staff, I think, is advisable. I have one other question on the resolution. There are basically four provisions in here. One, again, relates to the organization chart, which we've discussed, and the second to the positions, which are listed there. The third one, however, says that the general manager is authorized to create, abolish, or reorganize in whole or in part any department or independent office and to create additional executive management positions at such future times as he may deem appropriate to the proper operation of the authority without further board action. Provide, however, that the creation, abolishment, or organization of the offices of the board secretary, inspector general, office of general counsel, along with the hiring and firing of the board secretary, inspector and general counsel, are reserved solely to the board. Again, leaving aside those other offices that are outside the general manager's purview, again, this essentially says the general manager can make changes to the chart we're approving today at his own discretion. I understand that correctly, Ms. O'Keefe?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. It makes me wonder a little bit why we need to authorize today, as if we're basically saying the general manager can organize it any way he wants to. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I just wonder about two things. One is there's no reference to budgetary limitations here. And number two, while I generally would, again, give the widest possible latitude to the general manager to organize the structure he sees fit, I do think the board should be notified of such changes, as, of course, is being done right now. But I kind of wonder about that. Let me ask Ms. O'Keefe on just these first two questions. Number one, does there need to be any reference to the fact that this is limited by, you know, we adopt a budget, it says certain things, and they may be, any changes may be subject to budgetary approval or amendment of a budget. And number two, is there an inconsistency with our ratifying this structure and then saying, but if the general manager wants to change it tomorrow, he has the full authority to do so.
The reason that it's set up that way is because the current, the personnel policies and procedures which the board has previously adopted require approval of a reorg that involves changing of the departments or deletions of independent offices. So for that reason, this matters before you right now for approval, but consistent with Mr. Cato's understanding and discussions with the board, the going forward arrangement would be that he does have the authority to make such changes as he thinks are necessary. Certainly there can be a caveat that they have to be within budgetary, within the approved budget, and that the board can be notified. I'm sure the board would be notified, but it's up to you if you'd like to have it actually incorporated in the resolution.
That's one thing I'd like to give some thought to, and perhaps you can. But I'm sorry, and the budgetary part of that?
Well, I think we can simply add subject to approved budget, subject to the board's approved budget.
It's
the
some language
budget.
On those two things I'm interested in considering. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, Mr. Kaufman.
I had one more last point. first, recognizing Mr. Zimmerman's comments, you know, this is a sea change. You know, we're actually letting the general manager be a general manager. So to a certain extent, this is a micromanagement detox for the board. One of the areas we've also begun to talk about, and I just ask that the general manager, I guess, remain flexible and looking forward, is we've also been talking more about the role government relations plays. As my colleagues will recall, under the aegis of former Maryland members, we kind of had government relations in a box and then duct taped it. And now what we've begun talking about is how do we, instead of just being happy with what we get as an authority and smiling sweetly as we're beaten about the ears, is going aggressively after what we need as an authority. And frankly, recapturing an earned positive image. So I just ask the general manager also consider, since, frankly, when we talk about government relations, all of us at the table are government representatives. And is this the best placement so to ensure quick, responsive reactions as we begin to, again, both aggressively go after what we know the authority needs and recapturing that earned positive image?
Yes. I think that. Okay.
Thank you. Were there any other questions or comments?
Madam Chairman?
Yes. Okay, Mr. Zimmerman. Yes.
I'd be happy to move the proposed resolution.
I am interested in looking at an amendment, which I think is being worked on right now. But for the purpose of discussion, I'm happy to move approval of the resolution proposed.
Second. We have a motion and a second.
Can I make one comment?
Yes, you may.
Well, Zakifa still is working, I think. I do want to note that we'll see, members will see on this document in front of us, behind the text is a, ghosted image. I don't know what we call that capability of modern-day word processors that says proposed very clearly behind it. I want to note that because I have previously complained about ambiguity in documents before us when it wasn't clear whether we were looking at a document that had previously been approved or one that was a draft or as proposed by staff. And having complained about that, I want to say thank you for doing something that makes it very clear what we're looking at. And I think is important given that it's an area in which we don't want ambiguity about what the board did or didn't do. So thank you for that change.
And if I may make a comment, too, I didn't have the benefit of seeing a prior organizational structure, but I like what I'm seeing on this one. And now we do have the older one that was passed out, so I'm looking at that as well. But in listening to the comments of my colleagues, all who have been here an awful lot longer than I was impressed by the comments, and particularly I see it's really all about balance as well, because and particularly balancing competing interests. I heard Mr. Linton talk about, for instance, the overtime issue, and you have to, and that must be balanced with those instances where there is a need for overtime and those kinds of situations that you talked about, and that must be balanced against safety as well. I heard Ms. Hudgens talk about, we need, as an organization, we recognize that we need RIFs, but we also need to do that without losing, without a loss of customer service. I heard Mr. Kaufman talk about, we need some centralization, and that must be balanced against decentralization. And I think, and there were a number of other comments here, and it's very difficult. That's a difficult road to travel when you're navigating those competing interests. But I think the organizational chart does, and particularly the information elicited by the questions that were asked, goes a long way to, I think, improve customer service. And I think I would echo Mr. Zimmerman's sentiments in terms of that's squarely in your shop, Mr. General Manager, and you then are accountable to us for this. And this is the organizational structure that you're proposing, and I think that works, because then you can answer any questions that we have. We go directly to you on that. So,
Madam Chair.
Mr. Zimmerman.
I believe Ms. O'Keefe has some language that addresses the concerns that I raised.
Third resolved would be amended to insert before the semicolon in the first sentence this language. Within the board's approved operating budget, and then it would go on to read, provided, however, that one, the general manager will notify the board of any such changes, and two, that the creation, abolishment, or reorganization of the offices of the board, secretary, inspector general, et cetera, all that language remains the same.
So there are two insertions. The second one was just inserting
a notification requirement.
A notification requirement. Provided, however, that the board,
general manager will notify the board of any such changes.
And the other things are already there. And the earlier one would be inserted after which word is it?
After board action before the semicolon, without further board action.
And the words would be within the approved budget.
Within the board's approved operating budget.
Need the words board or operating there?
Annual approved operating budget.
Okay. With those changes, I'd offer that as an amendment, Madam Chairman.
Yeah. And the seconder accepts that as well? Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Mr. Kaufman?
I guess I'm being persnickety today. In looking at those modifications, again, I'd raise the RAC, which I find, doesn't appear on either the old or the new chart, since that is a group that we deliberately created to advise the board. And since we have this litany of lists under the resolve about those offices or those functions, if you will, that cannot be abolished without the board's interdiction or involvement, is I think it's the one, two, third resolved, where we talk about the provided, however, that the creation, abolishment, or reorganization of, and then it lists all these different things that we also factor in there, the Writers Advisory Council.
Mr. Zimmerman.
I take Mr. Kaufman's point, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I took that as given simply because the RAC is not a function that reports to the general manager at all. It is a function of the board, and it's established by that under rules.
Other items are specifically enumerated, a board secretary, inspector general, office of general counsel.
And perhaps it is, therefore, appropriate to include them, although, the difference is those are offices that function under WMATA. The RAC is an advisory committee, essentially a citizens to this board. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there are any parallel functions that we have at the moment that we would then have to take into account.
The elderly and disabled,
which does not report to the board, in fact.
Versus the general manager at the moment. So that's, again, my level of comfort would be increased if we just added that in.
I have no objection.
Okay. Mr. Benjamin?
No objection.
Okay. Are there any other? So we have a motion and a second
Madam Chair,
that's amended.
Excuse me.
Okay.
I've been informed by Mr. Harkham that the better language for the budget insertion would be within the approved budget or within the annual approved budget instead of focusing on operating.
True. Okay. We're going to include the capital within it.
Annual approved budget.
Okay.
Which would include both.
So that, with that amendment, which has been accepted by the motion maker and seconder, is there any additional discussion? All in favor of the motion as amended?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. And
Was there anything else?
That concludes my presentation. Okay. Adams, and thank you very much for your answer.
I have a question for the...
Mr. Graham?
I have a question for the general manager. Mr. Cato, we had our oversight budget hearing at the council yesterday, and I appreciate very much your participation with us on all those various fiscal issues. But as I indicated yesterday, I would raise today the issue of press reports that we have been receiving that may be suggesting that Metro WMATA is cooperating with federal immigration officials in terms of lending our resources for them to interrogate, detain, and perhaps in one case even arrest Latinos who have been stopped in the subway system. And what specifically concerns me here, and in addition to wanting a general assurance from you as in this board setting, is the fact that there was a report that Metro offices were being used physically to detain Latinos and question them on their immigration status. And so I would like you to give us that assurance today in this board setting, if you don't mind.
Well, thank you, Mr. Graham. As I mentioned yesterday at your hearing, we reviewed that allegation as a result of the story, and we checked with the various immigration organization, local law enforcement, our police chief, as well as our operating staff. And we were unable in any way to confirm that event took place on Metro property. Second, Metro does not have a policy or practice of checking identifications to determine whether someone is legal in the United States. That is not what we do. We provide services. In my experience and what I've seen here thus far, this action, as far as we know, did not take place. And I say that because there's always that small chance something happened somewhere. But in every station manager we've talked with, this event did not take place. Now, understanding that various governmental agencies have the authority to take certain actions, we can't stop them from taking those actions, but there's been no support or use of Metro staff, facilities, or resources based upon the action that you communicated to
them. Well, I appreciate that reassurance. Let me just say that this was a detailed published report in El Pregonero, and it has gained a great deal of circulation on email lists, and it may be appearing again. So I wanted to be sure that we had this assurance from you. Thank you.
Okay. Were there any other questions or comments? Thank you, Mr. Cato. All right, if you would indulge me for a moment, I called item 4 earlier, and I understand Mr. Snyder is here to present the report of the Riders Advisory Council. So I'd like to go straight to that before we go into the committee reports.
Thank you very much. Is this on? I apologize for being late. I'll take some of the responsibility for not being here on time because I didn't check the calendar this morning. However, I'm kind of glad that this happened. I mean, it kind of demonstrates the fact that we aren't communicating properly with our customers and with the public. This meeting changed from 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Last week when I checked the calendar, it was on for 11 o'clock. And there were other people that trickled in after the meeting actually started because you didn't use any of the resources that you have at your disposal to be able to communicate this information to customers. You could have put it on the pitch. You could have sent a press release out. There's a variety of techniques that you could have used. So I thank you for letting me continue to present.
Excuse me.
At this month's meeting in Iraq, we discussed provisions of House Bill 1475 to amend the IRS code to equalize transportation fringe benefits. between parking and public transportation and approve the following motion. The RAC supports the goal of increasing the level of federal pre-tax benefits offered from employers to employees from the current approximately $100 up to $200 with an allowance for inflation adjustment in subsequent years. In the news has been the abuse of MetroCheck benefits by a few government employees, but I don't believe that our position should be swayed by the bad judgment of a minority of recipients of these benefits. In our minds, the thousands of government employees that get free parking in the downtown facilities should be an even bigger issue. Therefore, the RAC would like the board to take a stronger position in favor of public transportation over subsidized parking for government employees and approve the following motion. The RAC recommends the board of directors take a position opposing all federal parking subsidies, excepting those for carpool and disabled employees, in federal government facilities, and that the federal government should charge market rates for parking. As a heads up, our Personnel Rules and Administration Subcommittee, we formalized a recommendation to include non-RAC members as non-voting members of our subcommittees. I plan to present our recommendation next month following a vote by the full RAC. The Budget Committee held three workshops over the last few months. We explored fair policy, non-fair revenue, service changes, and administrative changes that could positively impact the 2008 budget and beyond. At our Communications and Customer Service Subcommittee, we formalized our recommendations on advertising policy. We're also putting finishing touches on our policy recommendations for Smart Trip, fares, late night service, non-fair revenue, and retail. We will be presenting these to you at the May 10th Finance Committee's, your subcommittee meeting. At our bus subcommittee meeting, we had presentations on Adopt-a-Bus program, the 79 Metro Extra Bus Service, and the Next Bus program. When the Next Bus service rollout, we encouraged staff to prioritize implementation of the program on bus lines with lower service reliability. The real-time information provided by Next Bus would provide a dramatic benefit to customers on those lines as opposed to the frequently serviced lines. An example identified in public comments at a recent RAC meeting is the 38B route between Farragut Square and Boston, which runs on a 30 or 60-minute headway and has trouble meeting its schedule due to traffic congestion. This line was identified as extremely unreliable, a fact which was confirmed by Metro staff in attendance at our meeting. At our rail subcommittee meeting, we had presentations on revisions to the PIDS display and are pleased with the rotational displays on the mezzanine level by the fare gates to include next train information. This sign gives riders an opportunity to make informed decisions before entering the station. Actually, I saw the fact that the next train was going to be 7 minutes when I discovered that I was late for this meeting and could have taken a cab if I could find one. I'd like to thank Metro for making this particular enhancement happen. In addition, elevator and escalator outages have been added to rotational display from the platform as a service to the E&D community. The RAC has been able to advertise our rail workshop on the PIDS. Although turnout from the public was light, this type of outreach represents an additional way for Metro to inform riders. And I encourage you to put the board meetings up there as well. Last month, I discussed the RAC's desire to have frontline workers take personal responsibility for their vehicles and facilities. An issue I raised was debris along the rail bed being responsible for fires in the station. I recommended that station managers scan the rail beds in their stations and report concerns to rail operations. I shared my concern with a rider on the way home from last month's board meeting and was offloaded at White Flint Station, and there, to my surprise, was a lot of debris in the rail station. I chose to go out last week with my camera and take some pictures. Those are included in your handouts. In the packet are photos of debris in the rail beds at White Flint, and L'Enfant Plaza stations. I only scanned about a dozen stations to identify these two problems. If my math is correct, I suspect that if I visited all 86 stations, I might have identified over 14 stations that present a fire hazard. Please take some time to look at those pictures. A few months back, the RAC recommended that we move forward with the installation of bumpy domes at all remaining stations as a safety precaution for all riders. Last week, during windy conditions, Deputy General Manager Francis encouraged passengers to take care while waiting for buses and trains by standing back. In your packet are pictures showing how riders at stations with bumpy domes tend to stand back a full 3.5 feet from the train's envelope, while at stations without bumpy domes, they don't. Included is a photo of students with their back to the platform edge and a young woman talking on a cell phone. Perhaps this is an accident waiting to happen. Finally, the RAC has asked Metro staff to carefully reconsider the placement of recycling containers at station exits to encourage recycling of newspapers. I'm sorry, but many of my fellow riders are just too lazy to take the extra steps to find the recycling bin. A switch of two containers at L'Enfant Plaza by Metro maintenance staff is a very easy fix. However, at Foggy Bottom, Metro got it right, as the pictures will show. Again, I thank you for this opportunity to present, and I look forward to finding other opportunities for the RAC to participate in focus groups, workshops, and media events as Metro addresses the challenges of providing quality transportation to the public. I want everyone at Metro in the pre-planning phase of new initiatives to ask, what would the Metro's riders on the RAC think of this idea? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder, for your report, and I appreciate the written report in particular, which is very accessible. I would ask, Madam Chairman, that the board refer this to the general manager for staff response, you know, at least convenience, to the specific suggestions and comments that are made, if there's no objection from the board. And then specifically, I'd just like to note a couple of things. Mr. Snyder talked about the next bus service, and he specifically cited the 38B, one of my favorite and sometimes least favorite bus routes, one that I have occasion to use and understand the frustration with its schedule, which is why it has always been a particularly good candidate for this kind of service. And in fact, when Arlington funded a next bus pilot, it must be 5 years ago now or something like that, that's the one that we chose to do. So it actually still has the displays in place. Now, I was out there last week and had the very experience of the bus that was supposed to be 20 or 25 minutes apart, two coming within 2 minutes of each other, so clearly way off schedule. And I was not at a stop that actually has the displays, but I was told that this is now operating on the system, and I see it on the website as one of the ones that we've extended NextBus to, but I don't know from personal experience if, for instance, the displays already there at certain bus stops are in fact functioning. Does anybody here on staff, Mr. Cato, know if that's the case? I see an Arlington staff or not. Yeah.
From an Arlington perspective, I'm being told they were.
And have you actually seen them running?
I've not seen them.
Okay, no, but Lynn has. Okay, I just want to know if anybody actually seen it. It was just rumor. Okay, so that at least helps somewhat. Let me say that I've not been able to get this function to work from my PDA. I get an error message when I click on it. I don't know if that is just a problem for me or if, you know, if we know how well they're working on PDAs at this point. I'd be interested in following up on that.
We will follow up on that.
And beyond that, Madam Chairman, again, I look forward to the response back from these various points, but some of the policy questions that were raised are of particular interest, especially about parking and the recommendations made with regard to the federal government. That's something I think that the board should take a good look at as we go forward. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions or comments? Thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Thank you.
Okay. We had a public session. Okay. We have someone, a request to speak, but we had a public. We've already been through that part. Okay, but if someone can see the gentleman afterwards and find out what the issue is. Okay, sir.
Okay, so we have committee reports. Customer service. Ms. Hudgens?
I'd be glad to take that. Thank you, Chair Hewlett. The Customer Service and Operations Committee met on April 26, and there was one item for action, and the proposed item is as follows. We request that the board approve the update to the WMATA Metro Fleet Management Plan. The plan was last updated in 2004, and the proposed plan for bus and facilities to support future growth of the existing system. And in adopting the plan, the board does not make any formal commitment of any project or funding of any fleet expansion. And, Madam Chairman, I so move.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Need clarification.
Yes, I need to.
Mr. Kaufman was stepping back.
Mr. Kaufman to
move. I just slid way back.
Okay.
Banged up against the wall.
Okay. Mr. Benjamin?
I just wanted to note that in addition to the provision that Ms. Hudgens raised, that it is not making commitment, that there is one commitment that's there, and that is that the plan will be updated prior to any bus procurements or facilities.
Other questions, comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Mr. Graham.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to present the report of the Finance Administration and Oversight Committee. The following actions were referred to the board by the committee. I don't have the date of our meeting, but it's not here. But 12th of April. We met on the 12th of April. Could you be sure to include that in future reports? And we reported an amendment to the FY07 SEP for the Largo project closeout legal fees. There's a $32 million claim on the Largo extension project, and the claim is being litigated by outside counsel. Pursuant to a reimbursable agreement, Maryland is funding the litigation costs. I move approval.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
In addition, we move to amend the FY07 SAP for replacement of the Southeastern Bus Garage and Police Training Facility. The District of Columbia has identified a 16-acre site at DC Village for the replacement garage and police training facility. $6.3 million in funding has been identified from the sale of the employee parking lot at the current Southeast Bus Garage to fund studies, project development, design, and early actions for the project. Staff will return to the committee in May with a financial plan, general plans, and information on costs for CNG buses. Further, and I do want to emphasize this since this was my amendment, that action is contingent upon an approved final plan to relocate the homeless shelter at DC Village, and we will not take any further action until that final plan is provided to us. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there discussion? Yes, Mr. Benjamin.
Just the constraint that Mr. Graham just made. If I understand this correctly, we are authorizing the expenditure of the funds at this point. Is that right? It appears to be purpose number three, and it appears to be what's in the budget information.
The expenditure item, Chuck, is...
Yes, it is.
Are we expecting that the staff will come back to us one more time before anything happens? This does not say that. This says they go ahead.
I think it, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think what we're doing here is we're moving money into the account, and we're also, this is also contingent on the presentation of the financial plan in May. And so I don't suspect there's going to be a great deal of money spent between now and the May meeting of the budget committee.
Director Chair, you are right. Director Graham, you are correct. There will not be expenditures, Director Benjamin. This authorizes us to move the monies to line up, and we could begin the process of requesting RFPs for various work. But the work and the expenditures, as my understanding, will not take place till we bring this back to the board.
I would note that on the first page under purpose, it says we are authorizing supplemental tasks to the on-call consultant. and on the budget impact that says this action is an obligation of $6,359,000. It's not just shifting money in the budget.
Okay.
So the paperwork doesn't match what's being
said.
We're
going to ask Mr. Rico, who's been involved in this process, to give some more detail.
I just mentioned we have started the design of the facility, or the conceptual design of the program, and taking some actions in regards to try to implement this program so that with the potential of us being off of the property by the start of the baseball season next year. So there are some planning activities going on, but there certainly is no construction or any efforts in that way. But we're trying to deal with a number of different aspects of this property and this project as we proceed through this process. So there will not be any major expenditure between now and May, but there is some ongoing planning activities.
Just noting an inconsistency between the paperwork and what we're being told. Paperwork says you're authorized to move ahead.
I think if you look at the last resolve, which was specifically added by amendment from language that Mr. Graham proposed, the last session that when this came up, there were a number of actions that the board was told would be coming to them in May, really all the significant actions on the property, on the whole project. And at that time, the board resolved that they wouldn't take any actions on those things to come before them until the matter of the homeless shelter was resolved. The resolve actually says that there shall be no further action on this matter by the board of directors. So, again, I don't know. I think there's an authorization to conduct a public hearing. There are a couple of approval of financial plans, some real property actions that will be before the board. But it is our understanding that those matters cannot be brought to the board until the issue concerning the homeless shelter is resolved. So there is authority, as Mr. Rico said, to engage in some preliminary planning. And so there will be some expenditure of funds, but it can really be no material progress on this until the satisfaction of the criteria that was added by amendment that Mr. Graham proposed. So I don't think it's inconsistent.
I'm just noting on the first page of the information summary, it says authorized supplemental tasks to the on-call consultant. That then relates to the funding impact, which says this action is $6,359,000. And the resolution says no further board actions. The board's already approved everything as of this action. I don't know what it is that we're approving.
For my clarity, Mr. Requa, how much have we spent thus far on the feasibility work?
We had a $500,000 authority from the board from previous actions, and what we're doing here is moving the remainder of the funds that were received from the sale of the property into the program, but not with the intent of expending that effort of money. What we're continuing to do is expand beyond the $500,000 slightly as we continue the planning process. But as we come back to you in May, we'll be asking for further authorization to continue actions. But the actual procurement of a new facility wouldn't take place till September.
That's what I want to be clear. It says on the third, whereas January 25th, 2007, we authorized that preliminary work. This was to begin this process that we'll be wrapping up. This is essentially setting up the budget so we can not lose time or lose our momentum on the project, assuming we bring back the completed plan about the relocation of the facilities on Blue Plains. So I don't think this is to maintain momentum on the project. We've started the work. This essentially lines up the budget item so we can continue it once we deliver the plan. And we have the full authority to begin, do the work we're doing.
I don't have a problem with what we're trying to do. I have a problem with what the paperwork says we're doing.
Okay, I understand.
So my problem is, what are we approving? If we can be clear on what it is we're approving, then it's fine.
Mr. Bender, I think if you look at the resolution itself, the second resolve clearly amends the budget to put the money into the budget. And but for the amendment that was proposed by Mr. Graham, you're correct, the staff would have had the authority to go forward on all those items. But with the final resolve, it's clear that staff cannot come back with, for example, request for approval to go out to public hearing, any of the things that would be necessary to forward this project until the homeless shelter issue is resolved. So there will be a few staff expenditures to continue the planning effort. But again, the major actions that are required to take this project from a planning to an implementation phase cannot occur until the homeless shelter issue is resolved, and they won't be brought back to the board until that occurs.
Madam Chair, I think I have a motion on the floor at this time.
I think the concern has been addressed. Is there any other discussion at this point? And if not,
if Mr. Graham is comfortable that the language in what we're approving does what he wants it to do, because I think that was the main question Mr. Benjamin was raising, if Mr. Graham is comfortable with that, then I'm happy to support the motion.
I'm very contented.
Okay.
So. He's been purring over here.
All right, we have a motion and a second. No additional discussion. All in favor of the motion?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Mr. Zimmerman.
We had, just to complete the report of the committee, Madam Chair, we had, it's all right. I'm not going to go into this in detail due to the time, but there were various information items which we discussed, of course, including the FY07 monthly operating financial report.
Thank you. And that concludes your report?
That concludes my
report. No other questions or comments? Mr. Zimmerman, item 10.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Planning, Development, Real Estate Committee met on April 12th and has one action item to bring for your consideration. Staff sought to obtain the concurrence of the committee and the approval of this board to initiate and award a competitive contract for structural alkali silica reaction rehabilitation for various rail structures estimated to cost $1.3 million. Basically, this is about a number of the older structures having certain problems to which older Portland cement, I guess, is given because of certain ways things were done at one point, and this is a various series of remedies that need to be done to maintain the system, which involves the concrete surfaces of the structures being coated with a corrosion inhibitor and a silicone-based elastomeric coating. I just wanted to say that. There are times when I really regret that Ms. Hanley is no longer here. There are a lot of words here. She would have really had a kick over. This is an action that is within the existing, with the proposed CIP for fiscal year 08. And so I understand it to be subject to approval, ultimately, of that budget. But it will allow for initiation and contract procedures to be begun by staff for something that clearly is necessary. The committee recommends approval, and on behalf of the committee, I do so move.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
On this side? Okay.
Madam
Opposed?
Chairman, I'm sorry.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Madam Chairman, the only other item was an information item. The committee heard a report from the APTA expert panel that we had asked for an analysis of the relative impact on operating costs of tunnel versus aerial construction for Tyson's extension. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Item 11 on the agenda consists of seven items, and unless there are any questions on any of them, or unless anyone needs to have any of them pulled, we'll entertain a motion for all of them.
Move, Madam Chairman, that they be approved en bloc.
Second. We have a motion and a second.
Madam Chair, I would move to withdraw item 7.
Okay. All right. With the removal of item 7, we have a motion and a second for items 1 through 6. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Item 7.
I move to postpone until the next board meeting.
Okay. We have a motion. A second. To postpone item 7 to the next board meeting.
I'll certainly second it for the purpose of discussion.
Okay. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Madam Chairman, this is a D.C. matter, and I'm inclined to defer to the district.
I'd like to. There are just various questions that we have about this. I've just received the letter that explains all of this, which was dated April the 11th, and I'd like the opportunity to discuss with my colleagues what the portent of this. My D.C. colleagues, two of whom are not here. And so Mr. Monome and I would like to consult on this before we act.
So this will be deferred until the next board meeting?
Yes.
Right, that's his motion. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
We did have a no vote.
You had a no vote. I'm sorry. One no. We got it. All right. So item 12, are there any reports that we need? Mr. Graham, Mr. Benjamin, Mr. Kaufman? No report?
I have a report. I just want to say again that we considered yesterday the budget for the subsidy from the District of Columbia to Metro WMATA, and the District of Columbia is prepared to pay in subsidy $201,300,000. For FY08, and we're also prepared to pay, I believe, although we're still nailing this down, $61,500,000 in capital, which brings the DC subsidy payment, the required DC subsidy payment, to $264 million, and from the District of Columbia, from the people of the District of Columbia. In addition, we will be requesting some $20 million in cost reimbursable services. So we're up pretty much to about $285 million from the District of Columbia, and I thought people might be interested in knowing what strong supporters the people of the District of Columbia are of this fine transit system.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other reports?
Write the check.
We will.
Hearing none. Okay. Hearing none. We need a motion to convene into executive session pursuant to Board Procedures 6.2 and 6.3 to discuss legal matters and personnel issues.
Second.
Oh, that'll be my motion. Okay, motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.